I'm a friend of Abby's. I like to read Abby. I'll share one with you. Dear Abby, my mother recently passed away after a brief illness. In the obituary published in our local newspaper, they gave her age as 89. Abby, my mother was only 80, so it was apparently a topographical error. Now, this may not seem very important to some people. My mother was a very vain and prideful woman, would never tell her age. Because of this topographical error in the obituary, everyone will think she was 9 years older than she really was. Should I ask the newspaper editor to publish a correction? I say we should. The rest of the family says to skip it. Signed, Outvoted in Ohio. Dear Outvoted, sometimes it's better to leave bad enough alone. In support of my advice, I offer the following from a California Newspaper Publishers Association, an example of a topographical error and the disastrous attempts to correct it. Monday, for sale. R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale. Phone 948-0707 after 7 p.m. and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him cheap. Tuesday, we regret having aired an R.D. Jones ad yesterday. It should have read, one sewing machine for sale cheap. Phone 948-0707 and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him after 7 p.m. Notice. Wednesday. R.D. Jones has informed us that he has received several annoying telephone calls because of the error we made in his classified ad section yesterday. His ad stands correct as follows. For sale. R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale cheap. Phone 948-0707 and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who loves with him. Thursday. Notice, I, R.D. Jones, have no sewing machine for sale. I smashed it. Don't call 948-0707 as the telephone has been taken out. I've not been carrying on with Mrs. Kelly until yesterday. She was my housekeeper, but she quit. I'm in contact with quite a few insurance men, so I'll give you a few gleamings of some of their mail. This is some things that have been taken from insurance companies' letters sent in by the reader that didn't quite say perhaps what they meant to say. Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't have. The other car collided with mine without giving warning of its intentions. I thought my window was down, but I found out it was up when I put my head through it. I collided with a stationary truck coming the other way. A pedestrian hit me and went under my car. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. The telephone pole was approaching. I was attempting to swerve out of its way when it struck the front end. In my attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole. I've been driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. to avoid hitting the bumper of the car in front, I struck the pedestrian. My car was legally parked as it backed into the other vehicle. I told the police I was not injured, but on removing my hat, found I had a fractured skull. I was sure the old fellow would never make it to the other side of the road when I struck him. The pedestrian had no idea in which way to run, so I ran over. I saw a slow-moving, sad-faced old gentleman as he bounced off the roof of my car. I was thrown from my car as it left the road. I was later found in a ditch by some stray cows. Now we got the serious part out of the way. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray you'll open our hearts to the Word and the Word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. My grandchildren like for me to say grace at meals, too. You have your outline there in front of you. So or maybe you're sitting on it. Maybe you've applied it to the seat of learning. I don't know. This little card like this, everybody got this? Wave it. Wave at me. Hey, that's good. That's beautiful. All right. Now then, the reason I like to give out an outline, you will know what I would have said had I said it. I may not say it, but here it is on the paper. I am absolutely thrilled for the opportunity to share particularly about something that's changed my life. The Bible has changed my life, and particularly memorizing Scripture. What is the Bible? Well, the Bible is a book. You know, somebody says, what's the Bible? That's a book. A book. Like that, you know. And this book is not necessarily a book on science or a book on medicine, but this book is God's message of man to man through a person, Jesus Christ. So the Bible is a book, and the book is a message, and a message to people from God to man about a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Now you know what the Bible is. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Scripture says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Why did God give us the Bible? Well, there's several reasons, but one, it's a special revelation of God trying to reach man. In all other religions of the world, man is trying to reach God. Man tries to do something to appease the gods. In the Christian religion, God is trying to reach man. In fact, that's the reason he gave us the Bible. He wants to give us a message. Psalm 119, 155, Scripture says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. You've heard of foxhole religion, and I suppose there is such an item. I don't know. I've never seen any, actually. You've heard that when people get into bad trouble, they'll seek God, and I suppose they will. Some will, I know. But I have seen men firing at the enemy and playing in sight, men out on deck, firing an aircraft gun, and if they showed fear, I couldn't see it. God was far from their mind. After the battle was over, with oaths they said, boy, we deserve a holiday now. When we get down to the recreation center, down to New Zealand, or down to over to Sydney, boy, we're going to get 2 gallons of whiskey instead of 1 gallon of whiskey. I've never seen foxhole religion. Because the Scripture says that Jesus draws us to God, not the fear of death. Fear of death is makes you afraid, all right, but it doesn't necessarily draw you to God. That's in my experience, and also from studying the Bible. I don't know all that many verses on that either, you see. Jesus draws us to God, and that's the reason God gave us the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." What is unique about the Bible? Well, it's God making a bid for man. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Another thing that's unique about the Bible is the heroes of the Bible. All the people of the Bible have their faults as well as their good points revealed. If you and I are going to write a book, we're going to let our hero come out on top. But many of the heroes of the Bible have their bad points revealed. King David's probably one of our heroes. King David had a man killed and took his wife. In fact, he took his wife before he had him killed. Took his wife and then had him killed. That's pretty rough stuff. Yet that's our hero. We wouldn't let our heroes do that. But the Bible gives all the information about all of its heroes. That's quite unique. The Scripture says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Another thing that's unique about the Bible, it's an all or nothing concept. When a man becomes a Christian, when a girl becomes a Christian, you're not just a little bit of a Christian. You're either you are a Christian or you aren't a Christian, you know. I have been born or haven't been born. Here I am, big as life, you know. Grew so fast, it grew right up through my hair, see. All or nothing concept. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, let me give you a little saying that I picked up earlier this year. I was up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and there's no boy preaching, and he was trying to get our attention. And he said, "Now, let's just suppose the Bible is true." Now, if the Bible is true, if it is true, let me give you a verse. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If the Bible is true, the only way we get to God is through Jesus Christ. That's the reason God gave us the Bible, because it tells us about Jesus Christ. The importance of God's Word in salvation, in growth, and in ministry. That's on your title there, on your notebook, on your outline. The written Word tells of the living Word. The Scripture says in Revelation 19:13, "And he was clothed with vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." One of the names of Jesus is the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also think we God without ceasing. Because when you received the Word which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believeth." You can see I'm in the old King James. I like that "believeth." It sounds like Bible, don't it? When you're throwing it through "believeth" and "seeth" and all those things. Does it sound like Bible? Sure it does. Might be the Shakespeare, but I don't know much Shakespeare. The Word of God works in you and works in me that believes. And it's the Word of God, you see, that tells us about Jesus, and Jesus is the one that brings us to God. This comes by faith. Hebrews 4:2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Romans 6:17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." I was converted when I was 20 years old after I watched my mother pass away. I'd gone to church, but it had never taken. But after I watched Mom pass away, we were all in the room when she died, 7:15, October the 14th, 1940. And I started reading her Bible after that. And through reading the Bible, I came to faith in Jesus Christ. I've been reading the Bible, and my life had been changing, but I didn't realize how much it was changing. It was over about February, March maybe, down in Alabama, and I was in construction, running a little crew of men. And I'd learned how to work the men, and I'd learned how to get work out of them. And one of them, well, is to treat them halfway decent. And the other is to get alongside of them and work hard. And another thing is, about 10 o'clock in the morning, stop and have a break and maybe get them a drink. Royal Crown Cola was a great big cola in those days, and you get one for 5 cents. Or you could get them a beer. Pabst Blue Ribbon was 10 cents a bottle. That was one of my favorites. So this particular morning, I thought, maybe I'll step across the street and get the guys a beer. I'd only had two or three men. It cost me about 30, 40 cents, which was a lot of money, but I knew I could, you know, push them in real hard. We were working hard. Suddenly, I thought, I don't remember when I've had a beer. This was up February, March. Mom died in October. Then I began to realize, you know, there's a lot of things that have changed about my life. By the way, I never did go get the beer. To my knowledge, I hadn't had one since. God completely changed my life. You see, the scripture says, but God be thanked, Romans 6:17, that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. Obeyed from the heart. See, you can come forward and be baptized. In fact, you can be baptized two or three times. You can go, you know, under lots. Some people put them under three times. One for the Father, one for the Son, one over it. You see? Yeah. You go all the way under. If you don't go all the way under, it don't count. See? And, boy, you have to hold it. You get strangled, you know. But if you don't believe from the heart, that's just a bath, really. Just a bath. I thought, well, you know, the Lord wants to use my life. Didn't know just what he wanted to do with it. I hadn't been to college, university, so I decided, well, maybe I'll go away to college. So I went away to college, and I was up there one semester. And the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. They didn't bomb Pearl Harbor to get me out of college, but that was the same thing, you know. It worked. So I joined Uncle Sam's Yacht Club. And I was a witnessing Christian by then. And I caught a transport out of San Diego, the Crescent City, 6,000 troops. I was witnessing to a fella. And he was up on the full part of the ship. We were back in hole number six. He was up in hole number two. So he went up to hole number two on a working party. And a navigator up there witnessed to him. So he came back all excited, this pagan. He said, Crawford, you got to go meet this guy. Man, he's one of your kind. So I was seasick, and I didn't want to meet anybody. But next day he came back, and he said, hey, Crawford, you got to meet this guy. Man, he's one of your kind. So to protect my testimony against this fella, I went up there to meet him. And he could quote scripture. His name was Gale Buckles. And so I said, Gale, are you a pastor on the outside? He said, no, no. I said, have you been to theological college or Bible college or something? He said, no, no. I said, you going to be a pastor or missionary when you get out of the Navy? He said, perhaps not really. Well, I had never known of anybody could quote Bible that wasn't a pastor or a priest or something. You see, I never known a layman could quote a verse of Scripture except John 3:16. I'm not sure they got that all correct, you see. And I said, where in the world did you learn to quote Scripture? He said, well, there's a group called the Navigators out in Honolulu. So when I got out to Pearl Harbor and caught my, was stationed aboard ship, I made my way out to the Nav headquarters. And I told them that I'd met this fellow Buckles and I wanted to learn how to memorize Scripture. And they said, well, Crawford, we don't work with just anybody, you know. I said, well, man, I'm not just anybody. We only work with guys that mean business. I said, well, I caught four buses to get out here, you know. You had to transfer a lot. So I talked them into it. So what they did is they gave me a box of verses, the Moody's. Lowry set out of Moody Bible Institute. It was a little box of 150 verses and with a reference on one side and a verse on the other, 150. With the instructions, memorize a verse a day and review all you know every day. Well, I wasn't all that educated then, you know. I didn't realize what that would do. You realize what that is? 365 days later, all you're doing, it takes about 10, 11 o'clock to get through your verses, you see. And by the end of the third year, you virtually all day, you know, you got 1,000 verses, over 1,000. See, it's 365 days in a year, and only, you know, 3 years is more than that. That's fast mathematics. I could see you're working there. You're wondering. I was trying to help him. We help him down in Alabama. We help him. Well, I got along okay for 75 days. And then I was stationed aboard a seagoing tugboat. And so we left Pearl and went down south. And my memory work took a beating. But that was the beginning of my memorizing scripture. But I got a good start. When I got back to the States, I pulled into Long Beach about 3 years later. And the fellas gave me, I met some Christians aboard on the beach. And by the way, to a sailor on the beach isn't that sandy part out there you play in. The beach means downtown or anything. It's land, you know. So over on the beach, I got started in memorizing scripture. In the beginning with Christ, we call it the Bible Rations in those days, but it's this very little book, The Beginning with Christ. There's four little verses. There's five in this little book on how to get started in memorizing scripture. So by getting started again in memorizing scripture, then I began to pick up my verses that I dropped by the wayside while I'd been at sea and hadn't done so well. One of the things, by the way, that I missed that the fellows didn't emphasize enough, or I missed it, because I was the only Christian aboard ship, was someone to help me on my verses. See, what you have to do if you memorize scripture, you have to have someone check you out. For instance, I have my verses here. I'm working in Hebrews now. I got my Hebrew verses divided up into... you want rubber bands around them too. See, you got to be sure to have rubber bands around. See, otherwise it don't count. See, and somebody made me this little pack. It's got John on it. See, that's me. Okay, so here my Hebrew verses, you see, are divided up into three parcels. So that's what I'm working on now. So when I get together, like on Thursday night with the Bible study fellows, first thing we do is pair up and memorize scripture. You see. We do that all the time. Everything I do, we pair up and memorize scripture. We have a song time, we pair up and memorize scripture, you see. So when you come to my house, be sure you bring your verses, you see. Because we do that. And by the way, that's one of the greatest things at all, is to have someone check you out. Otherwise, you get pretty sloppy. Well, I had memorized, and I had memorized the gospel. The fact of sin, the penalty must be paid. It's paid by Christ. It's a free gift, but you must accept it. And the fellows told me, now, when you witness to someone, don't necessarily tell them, now, I want to give you the fact of sin, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to give you the penalty of sin, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to give you the penalty of sin now, boy. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now then, the penalty is paid by Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. They said, no, don't do it like that. Memorize the verses. Have them into your soul. And as you talk to someone, make it into your natural conversation. But if you have in your background the fact of sin, the penalty must be paid, it's paid by Christ, it's a free gift, but you must accept it. If you have that little filed away in your computer, see, the computer goes right in there, just right about that hairline there, see? That's the proof. You see? Then as you talk to someone, then you're confident of where you're going. You know, gang, it really only takes about 300 passages of Scripture to really touch on every topic in the Bible and it'll get you way around. If you want to stretch it out to 500, just 500 passages of Scripture actually will equip you for life. And you can stand your ground flat-footed on any basic subject in life. I know, because I've lived a couple of years, maybe three or four, see? That's all that it takes. And if a person wants to go to the trouble to memorize a verse a week and 2 weeks off, you know, for Christmas, at 50 verses a year, 50 verses a year. 10 years? Higher mathematics now. What have we got? 500. Only 10 years. Only 10 years. By the way, if you're going to get very far in life, you're going to have to start thinking longer time anyway. I know right where you are now, it's what we have for supper and what we're going to have for breakfast. And when you're going to get through, John, I'd like to go get some ice cream, you know. You see? But you gotta stretch it out. You really do. You really got to stretch it out. Steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty, you see. Steady plodding, steady plodding, steady plodding, steady plodding, steady plodding. See, that's the secret of life. And that's the secret of memory work. You start. Anyway, I had memorized the gospel. And a ship had pulled into San Francisco. And it was, war was getting along, and we were taking on new men. And so I had made a little program. As the new men came aboard, I would ask them, would they want to go to chapel? We'd go to chapel up on Treasure Island, because our little vessel didn't have a chaplain. You got to have quite a large ship to have a chaplain, about 400 to 600 men, something like that, to raise a chaplain. And most of the Navy is on small craft, and still is. So you don't have access to a chaplain. So I take the guys up to chapel, and on the way back to the ship, we'd stop at Galatay and have lunch. And then I would talk to the guys about Jesus. They might be Catholic fellows, Lutheran fellows. It really didn't matter to me. And we might get some kind of a message about being a good boy and all such as that. That didn't make any difference to me either, you see. Because just we were going to church and we'd come back. So one day, I'd taken some fellows. One of the boys was named Jack Yates. He was a weightlifter. And so I'd witnessed to him during that day. And it so happened that night we had the duty together. We had the deck watch. I had the deck watch and he had the anchor watch. And about 11 o'clock, Yates came up and said, "Crawford, how do you get saved?" You know, when you get a lead like that, you think, "Ha, here's a witnessing opportunity," you know? Well, I had memorized the fact of sin, the penalty of sin, the penalty must be paid, it's paid by Christ, it's a free gift, but you must accept it. And I had the verses, you see? I had the verses. So I said, "Yates, one of the first things you have to do is realize that you're a sinner, boy." See, the fact of sin. He said, "Man, I realize that, or else I wouldn't be talking to you." The background of that was I was known as the deacon aboard ship, or the chaplain aboard ship, or the preacher, or something like that, you know. By this time, it was a complimentary language rather than derogatory. And so I said, "Well, Yates, you also have to come to a place in your life where you're willing to confess your sins. Have you come to that place yet?" And I said, "When you confess your sins, Yates, what you have to do is realize that Jesus has already forgiven you, and all you have to do is accept him." See? And you have to make that commitment. So it all through the gospel. About 30 minutes later, he came back. And he said, "Crawford," he says, "I'm saved." I says, "Great." I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I told God whatever it was to be converted, whatever it was to be forgiven, I wanted to do it." He said, "I believe he heard me." I said, "Yates, I'm sure he heard you." I said, "Hey, I got something for you." So I said, "Take the duty." And I went down to my locker and I got a little Beginning with Christ, a little B ration, see. And before we went off duty that night, we were supposed to go off duty at 12 o'clock, but I didn't wake my relief until later. By the way, it's quite legal. In other words, he wouldn't have cared if I hadn't wakened him at all. You know, I could still stand his watch if he wanted me. And so I took the time to explain the Beginning with Christ booklet to this man the same hour he was converted. Because you see, when a little baby is born, the scripture says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." When little babies are born, they need a lot of care after they're born. They have to really receive a lot of little tender care. And when people become to know Christ, when they're born again, they need a lot of care. And God wants you and me, we've been singing songs about it, God wants you and me to be moms and dads to these fellows and girls that come to Christ. And so we get them, we take the little bottle of milk, and we get them to start to memorize Scripture. So each morning, I'd have a quiet time with Yates. There in the uptakes, the fellows down below decks would open the doors up on main deck where the hot, warm air from the boiler room would escape. It's always cool in San Francisco. You notice now it's around 72, 75 degrees, you know, even in the daytime. And so it was always cool. So we would stand there in the uptakes so we could stay warm. And so we would go over our verses of Scripture. I'd review verse, he'd review, I'd review verse. Then I taught him to pray with his eyes open. You wouldn't want to be standing there, oh Lord, and the fellows come by, they wonder, what you guys doing? You having problems somewhere, you know? So I taught him to pray with his eyes open. The last time I knew Yates, he was preaching to the rum runners back in Kentucky from whence he came. It all started because some fellows got me into the Word, you see. The importance of God's Word in salvation. The importance of God's Word in growth. And the importance of God's Word in sharing with others. You know, a lot of us go to Baptist churches. I've been going to Baptist church now for some time, see. And it's pretty easy to go to a Baptist church and go through the motion without it really taking part in our hearts and to our lives. The Scripture says in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. One of the things that Scripture memory does is it changes our thought pattern. We can think different thoughts. See, we have to reprogram ourselves. And it's the Word of God. The Scripture says in Luke, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You know, I memorized that verse a number of years ago. It's been on my heart these last weeks and months. In the morning, a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Another thing we want to do, gang, is find some time where we can read our Bibles. Feed our souls from reading the Bible. I know you got a lot of studies. I know you got a lot of books to read, you see. But we want to make a habit of reading the Bible. Reading the Bible daily. Reading the Bible. Feeding our souls from the precious Word of God. I wonder, there may be a question or two before we wrap this up. A little bit louder. Yes.
What do you do when you have times where you just don't feel like doing it? How do you get yourself going?
How do I keep myself going? Well, that's where discipline comes in. Check and see if you've got enough sleep. You know, I mean, if you've been up, been getting by on 4 or 5 hours for a week or two, you know, it's a good chance you out of gas or run out of something, you see. But check and see if you've got enough sleep, see. Check and see if you've been overeating. I mean, you can chow down till you get completely loggy. There's a key to fasting, you see. And then we have to go back to the habit that we have developed in regard to memorizing and reviewing Scripture. What I do is go for a walk if I possibly can squeeze in the time. I used to go for a jog. I quit jogging about 3 years ago. And take my verses and I say, God, pick me up. God, and by the way, everybody's going to hit dry times. I mean, we're not going to live on a high the rest of our life. No way. No way. No way. There's going to be things coming in your life this week, and we don't have much left, that's going to throw us, you see. And that's what the Word is all about, rather than living on our emotions. We're going to have these down times. And this is where my verses come in. Then I know some particular verses, by the way, on different subjects that I turn to for him to talk to me. I thought, by the way, that song we sang a while ago, where he will sing over me, that'd be a good one to memorize. I don't know that. I don't have that in my repertoire. I don't have that in my back review. That's a fantastic passage. But that's one of the things that we do. Any other questions? Yes. Yes, I have. In my younger years, I memorized John 1, Romans 8, and a few other, not books, I'm sorry, not books, chapters. I never memorized a book of the Bible, no. Would you mean books?
Yeah.
No, I never memorized books. I don't know. No, I never memorized. I memorized chapters. But I really enjoyed it. But I can't keep them up. I can't keep reviewing. In fact, I have memorized, there's verses, what you call brick verses, and verses that are mortar verses. You know, brick and mortar. You see the rock, you see the stones over there, brick and mortar, brick and mortar, brick and mortar. See? I've memorized so many mortar verses that in these latter years I've had to toss them. Because I cannot reclaim, I cannot hold on to several thousand passages of Scripture up here in my computer. See, I can't do that. I can hold on to several hundred, but I can't hold on to several thousand. And I've been working at it over 50 years, you know. And I'm not lazy. I'm not smart, but I'm not lazy, you know. I'm disciplined. By the way, you ought to find out about yourself just where you are, you know. Like, I'm not brilliant, but I am disciplined. I'm not lazy. I'm on target. I know where I'm going. I know where I've been. I know how long it gets there, you know. I'm not dumb. See? So you ought to find out about those things and be very realistic about yourself, and then you can get there. So the reason I don't review those books, I mean those chapters, is because I can't retain them, and I'd rather get my brick verses, because these brick verses will give you the context around them. There's a question back for the, yes. Help me, what do you say now? What do you say?
Favorite passage of Scripture and why?
I'm sorry?
What's your favorite passage of Scripture and why?
Oh, I was told to get a life verse. 1 Corinthians 4:2 has been one of the closest ones. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. That's one of my basic verses. And that because if a person is faithful, then he can keep going with the others.
If someone was going to start memorizing today, where would you say they should start?
I would start right here with the beginning with Christ, because why reinvent the wheel? You know, somebody's already reinvented it. So these people have got it figured out. See? So I'd start right here. And then I would either go to the topical memory system of the navigators, or if I had someone to meet with, I would get one of these courses. See? Right here. Just a little simple course. You can purchase them here at the BSU. And here's some suggestions on the back as to how to keep going. That's where I'd start. I'd get me a buddy. Or if you're in a Bible study already, I'd suggest that the Bible study incorporate memorizing Scripture with the Bible study and reviewing. Any other questions? We'll wrap it up. Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for hearing us. And Lord, I know that out of this gang, there'll be some fellows and girls who will really take this to heart, and this will be the beginning of the going on of their life in taking in the Word through memorizing and studying. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us all as we discipline ourselves to follow you through the Word. I thank you, Lord, for every fellow and every girl here. Now, Lord, there may be some fellow and some girl here that's really going through tough times. They don't know where to turn. They're just up against it. Lord, I pray that you'll give them counsel, either from yourself or from someone else. They will seek it out to get answers to their problem, because we know that there are answers. In Jesus' name, amen.